good morning, everyone. And a very, very warm welcome to our very fun all-age nativity service. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Morgan. I am the missional pioneer and communities lay pastor here at PMC, and an extra coffee for anyone who can still remember that title by the end of the service. So we have an extra special service for you today. We've got lots of fun involved, lots of nice carols, fun songs, and of course a fantastic nativity for you as well, prepared by our wonderful Gareth, Abby and Thomas. So I'm really looking forward to see how that turns out. You may be wondering what this angel is behind me. Well, piece of plywood that's carved to be like an angel. This is actually our a project that we did yesterday with churches together. We met in St. Andrew's Yard and we invited passers-by to add their handprint to these angels that say, "Do not be afraid." So we had some really good conversations. We prayed with people about what they may be afraid about during this season, and it was a really, really good way to connect with the community. It's looking pretty good at the moment, but I reckon we can get some more handprints on it. So at some point I will bring this out, maybe during Tuesday Youth Club or something like that, and we'll get some more handprints added to it. And hopefully it's something that we can bring out every year. So I am now going to hand over to Marion for our Advent reading. If that's okay, thanks Marion.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep darkness, a light has shined. The lights that we have kindled each week light the way to the coming Christ. The candles of hope, peace, and joy glow brilliantly. Today, we light the candle of love. Neither death nor life, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we light this candle to proclaim that in Christ we have love. Light of the world, shine on us and through us and light our way. Amen.
Thank you, Marion. Okay, so now we will go into our first carol of the day. Hark the herald angels sing. We will be taking our offering during this carol as well. So I invite you all to stand as you are able as we join in the words that are displayed on the screen. Thank you.
Hark the herald angels
God, we pray a blessing on these offerings today. We pray that you may use them, that you allow us to use them in a way that blesses and glorifies your name and helps PMC in its outreach in its community and with its families. Amen. Amen. Right. So the time has come for our highly, highly anticipated nativity. I know that Abby and Thomas have been working hard. I'm not too sure about Gareth. He seems a bit lax about it at the moment, so I'm not too sure how this will go. but I for one am really excited about this. I've heard a lot about it. I know that they've been working hard. And I invite everyone to get involved, not just the kids, but the parents and the adults as well. Anyone who wants to get involved, please get involved. And so, the stage is set. The actors are prepared. Please enjoy the impossible promise.
I don't know where they find him. Okay, welcome everyone to The Impossible Promise, A Christmas Story. My name is Reggie, and I will be narrating our story today and more or less directing our little instant nativity. On the other side is my friend Gabby, who will mostly be playing an angel. How she got that role, I'll never know. And eventually a very grumpy king, more like the Gabby we know. Many of you have come dressed as characters to take part in the Christmas story, so thank you for that. And from time to time, we'll be asking you to come to the front and help us tell the story. Simply follow some of the helpers that will tell you when it's your turn to come and join in. We want you to take part as well too, everyone. So to start with, let's have a great big, blessed are you among women for those who will be our Marys. Blessed are you among women. And let's have a great big, no need to worry for those who will be Josephs. No need to worry. And let's have a great big, moo ba ee-aw for all our animals. Moo ba ee-aw. Excellent. And a great big, surprise, don't be afraid, for our angels. Excellent. And a great big, don't be afraid, are you balmy? For those who'll be shepherds. Don't be afraid, are you? Brill. And finally, a great big, twinkle, twinkle, little star for those who are the stars and leading the star watchers. Twinkle, twinkle. There'll be a lot of booming in this story, the sound everyone in the room will make together whenever God does something amazing. It's when you see the boom sign, then you throw your arms in the air and shout boom. Ready?
Boom.
Got done. Boom. Yeah, well done. Okay, so as in the Christmas story, it all starts with Mary. So maybe some of the Marys would like to come and stand in front of our angel Gabby. Come on, Marys, let's have some Marys. Brill. Okay, so, ready, and just like that, out of nowhere, there she was, an angel. And Mary was terrified. Maybe it was the suddenness of her arrival. Maybe it was the shock of the surprise. Maybe it's because she was no fat baby with wings, but a bright, shiny, otherworldly creature sent down from the throne of God. Or maybe it had to do with what she said.
Hello, favoured one. God is with you.
Mary was simply a young woman from a little town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee. She had never expected anything like this to happen to her. What did the angel mean? What was this all about? She was confused and troubled, to say the least. And the angel Gabby understood that.
Don't be afraid. This is a good thing. God is pleased with you and wants to do something amazing for you. So here's what's going to happen. You will give birth to a son called Jesus. He will be great. In fact, he will be called the Son of God.
It was their promise, the promise to Eve of a child to crush the serpent's head, the promise to Abraham that through his family God would one day bless the world. The promise would finally come true, and it sounded amazing. But Mary had a practical question, very practical. By the customs of her day, she was legally promised to be married to a man named Joseph, but they hadn't had the wedding yet. So she asked quite rightly,
"I am virgin, how will I give birth to a son?"
And quite rightly, God gave her an answer, a mysterious answer guaranteed to surprise her even further.
"God's Holy Spirit will come upon you. His power will overshadow you, so your son will be holy too, the Son of God. It sounds incredible, I know, but your cousin Elizabeth is having a baby. She is 6 months pregnant, in fact, and as you know, she is well past childbearing age. For God can do anything, even something that everyone else thinks is impossible."
And Mary said,
"Then let him do this impossible thing for me. I will be his servant and do what he asks."
And with that, just as suddenly as she had come, the angel disappeared. Just like that, out of nowhere, it was the last thing that Joseph wanted to hear. So have you got any Josephs that want to come and join poor Mary on her own? Oh, brill. Come on, Joseph. Excellent. Obviously, Joseph's playing the part well, staying well away from this Mary. Because Mary, the woman he'd promised to marry, was expecting a baby. And there was no way that baby was his. What could he do? She had broken her promise, broken the legal engagement that her family had made with him, and worst of all, she'd broken his heart. He could have embarrassed her and made a big deal out of what she had done. But deep down, Joseph was a good man and a kind man. He decided to end their engagement, but to do it quietly. Before he could put his plan into action, however, he had a visit from an angel as well. The angel came to him at night in a dream.
"Joseph, don't be afraid to marry Mary. She has not been unfaithful to you. The baby she is expecting is there by the power of God's own Holy Spirit. She is going to give birth to a son, and God wants you to call him Jesus. For just as that name means, he will rescue his people from their sins."
When Joseph woke up, he did exactly what the angel told him, and he took Mary as his wife. But then, just like that, another surprise. As if there wasn't enough in this story. The Roman ruler Augustus wanted to find out how many people were in his vast empire, so he ordered everyone under his control to return to their hometown to be counted. Joseph was from Bethlehem, the town where King David once lived, so he and Mary had to travel way down south to be counted in the census. It's about 90 miles or so, and despite what you might have seen in your school nativity play, they probably had to walk. Hence, we've got no donkey. Oh, no, there's Morgan there. It can't have been easy. When they arrived, they needed a place to stay, but so did all of Joseph's other relatives. And by the time they got to Bethlehem, all the nice upstairs rooms where families usually kept their guests were full. So Mary and Joseph had to stay in a downstairs room where the animals were kept for the night. And it was there, among the animals and the straw, that Mary gave birth to Jesus. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. So let's all join in with "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Okay, so as we carry on with the story, do we have any animals that want to come and join in instead of the front? We do have animals. Come on, animals, let's have you up at the front. E-aw! Oh, we do have an e-aw after all.
Lord, help us be like Mary, who answered when you asked. Help us learn to give and serve no matter what the task. Lord, help us be like Joseph, a man both kind and just. Help us listen when you speak and teach us how to trust.
Okay, as we move on with the story, let's sing again. We're going to sing Silent Night. Now, shepherds gather and angels too. It's almost time for you to make your entrance. So let's have the shepherds and the odd sheep. We've already got some sheep here already. To the front as we carry on. Nearby, in the hills outside of Bethlehem, there were shepherds guarding their flocks of sheep. The night was still, the stars were shining. All was quiet apart from the odd sleepy baa. And then boom! The angel appeared again. And the light that surrounded her surrounded the shepherds too. It turned the night bright as white and gave those shepherds an almighty fright.
Bring is good, and it will fill everyone who hears it with joy. Today in Bethlehem, in David's city, your Saviour was born. That's right, the Messiah, the one God promised you, the one you've been waiting for year after year after year. He's here. And this is the sign that points to him, so you know for sure you've found him. Look for a baby wrapped in cloths, fit for a newborn, lying in a manger.
And when the angel had said that, boom! A sky full of angels joined them. Have you got any angels that want to join Gabby? Oh, look at this. Wow. Yeah. A crowd, a multitude, a heavenly host, and like any otherworldly choir, a flash mob sent from heaven, they shouted out their praises to God.
Glory to God who reigns on the high, and peace to those on earth who pleases him.
Then away they went, as suddenly as they had appeared, and the shepherds, still shaking, said to one another,
God has told us this amazing thing. Let's go to Bethlehem and see.
So off they went, hurrying, running, racing to the place the angel had revealed to them. And there was Mary, and there was Joseph, and there was a baby. Just like the angel had said, the baby lying in a manger. So the shepherds told Mary and Joseph everything the angel had told them about the baby, how he was the Messiah, God's long-promised one, finally come to his people. And Mary kept these words like a treasure in her heart to wonder and to ponder over in the days and weeks and years to come. Then back to the hills to the shepherds went, praising God for all they had seen and heard, no longer quiet, no longer still, but shouting and singing like angels.
Thank you, Lord, for our angel songs that shout aloud the Saviour's birth. Show us how to live in ways that sing again of peace on earth.
So, it's now time for our star watchers too, and our stars. So as we sing this next song, and we want you to come to the front, we're going to sing a couple of verses of We Three Kings. And it's
boom.
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 The star watchers knocked at the door of the palace of Herod, king of the Jews. And when they were admitted, and when they stood before him, they gave him the news that landed like an explosion on his ears.
"Can you tell us, please, where we can find the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star rise in the night skies, and we have to come to worship him."
It was all that King Herod could do to keep from exploding with rage. He was the king of the Jews, and he had murdered anyone who had tried to take his throne, including members of his own family. The star watchers, of course, had no way of knowing this. They were not Jews themselves. They were from another country, far away, east of Jerusalem, for God wanted everyone, everywhere, to know about Jesus, to bless the whole world, just as he has always promised. King Herod sent the star watchers away and immediately gathered every priest and scribe and expert that he could find. Then he asked them that one question, and one question only.
"Where do our holy books say that God's long-promised Messiah will be born?"
"In Bethlehem of Judea," they answered, "for the prophet Micah says that even though it's just a little town, out of Bethlehem will come one who will be a ruler and a shepherd of his people."
"Search for the child, and when you have found him, come back and tell me exactly where he is, because I want to worship him too."
Oh, typical Herod. That was a lie, and King Herod knew it. He only wanted to find the child so you could kill him. The star watchers didn't know that, so off they went, following the star to Bethlehem, and when it stopped and rested above a house, they knew they had found the place. Jesus was no longer a newborn baby by this stage. No, he was a little toddler living with Mary and Joseph in that house. And when the star watchers entered the house, they fell on their knees before him and worshipped him. They gave him precious gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts fit for a king. And when their visit was finished, did they return to King Herod and tell him where the baby was? Nah. They did not. For in the night, God spoke to them in a dream and told them of the king's wicked plan. So in the morning, avoiding the palace, they returned home by another way.
Lord, help us be like star watchers, following your lead, looking for guidance in every word and deed.
And so we sing the last two verses of We Three Kings. Not to worry. So, we have had a lovely time celebrating the Christmas story, I hope. We do it every year, and we do it for a reason. These events don't stand on their own. No, they're part of a much bigger set of events that link back to the beginning of everything and forward to forever. They link back to the creation of the world. When God made men and women to love him and each other and the world he created. And they link back to the promise that God made to that nation that one day he would send them a king like their best King David to set up God's kingdom for everyone on earth. Jesus, the baby born to Mary, fulfilled all those promises just as the angel said. Descended from David, he was God's own son, sent to crush the power of evil. But that was just the beginning of the world-changing event that was his birth, for it links forward to the grown-up Jesus who... healed the sick, fed the hungry, welcomed the outcast, to show what life in God's kingdom was like. It links forward to his death, where his sacrifice defeated the power of evil by taking away the shame and guilt and punishment for every wrong thing that anyone would ever do. It links forward to his resurrection from the dead, where he paved the way for our resurrection. It links forward to his ascension, where he reigns at God's side, and links forward to the coming of his Holy Spirit, who lives inside everyone who follows him and helps him to live like he did. And finally, it links forward even further, still through 2,000 years of history, to you and to me, and then beyond to eternity, when God will make a new heaven and a new earth, where he will be our King forever. So, as we finish off, let's hear a great big "Blessed are you among women" for our Marys. Blessed are you among women. And let's have a great big "No need to worry" for our Joseph. And let's have a great big "Moo ba ee-aw" to all our animals. Excellent. And let's have a great big "Surprise, don't be afraid" to all our angels. And let's have a great big "Don't be afraid, are you balmy" for our shepherds. And finally, a great big "Twinkle, twinkle, little star" to our stars and star watchers. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Thank you all.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. I think, yeah, let's give them another round of applause, everyone. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Abby. Thank you, Thomas. That was brilliant. Fantastic. That's amazing. It's perfect. I think that's what Christmas is all about. And this is what church is all about to me. This is about bringing families together, bringing people together, and celebrating the love and community that we have for each other. So, thank you all who participated in that. That was just heartwarming to see. That's absolutely made my season, that. So now we will see a reading from my friend PJ that will be on the screen. PJ is off touring at the moment because he's a big famous rock star, or he helps rock stars out. And so he actually filmed this on the floor of his Premier Inn last night. He texted me this morning, he recorded it about 2 a.m. So this should be entertaining. Oh, can we not hear it? Right, any lip readers in the crowd? No? In that case, Kath, where's Kath? She's still about? Oh, she's gone. So our video has failed and our backup reader as well. Have we got? Yeah, if that's all right, Avril, thank you.
You're in the right place.
Yeah.
Issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloth and placed him in manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Brilliant. Thanks, Avril. I know I can always count on you.
Hello.
That was brilliant. Thank you. Okay. So, who here, just a quick show of hands, feels prepared for Christmas? Not many of you. That's good. That's encouraging for me, because I'm not prepared in the slightest. I am ashamed to admit I haven't bought a single Christmas present yet or written a single Christmas card. It's shameful of me, but my excuse is I've been really busy. It's not a great excuse, I know, but it actually got me thinking that this is a busy and hectic time. Now, when I was thinking about this, I realised that the busyness that we experience in the lead up to Christmas every single year is mirrored in the Bible, in the lead up to Jesus' birth. You see, if we put it into perspective, we heard in our nativity, which was great, that Mary was first told that she was pregnant, which was huge for any young mother, isn't it? Any young family. But then also she was going to give birth to the Son of God, which is just another massive pressure to be put on a young mother. Then Joseph thought that she had been unfaithful, so he was planning to send her off quietly. He dealt with it in a really good way, much better than I probably would have. But he was going to send her off quietly, and then they managed to sort that tiff out, which was nice, and he realised that she hadn't been unfaithful. But then they realised that they had to travel to Bethlehem, which, as Gareth said, was a 90-mile journey. Not easy. I mean, a 90-mile journey isn't easy for any woman, even nowadays, who is pregnant, heavily pregnant. And yet they had to do it through dust, through sand, through rocks, through mountains, and that would have been pretty tough. And again, as Gareth said in the play, they probably wouldn't have had a donkey. But it's fine, right? When they get to Bethlehem, they can just check into their Premier Inn and put their feet up and prepare for the birth. No, because there are no rooms at any inn. In fact, recent research suggests that they didn't even have a stable. They had to go into a cave to stay there during their time in Bethlehem. Now, my guess is that stable didn't have any central heating. It wasn't warm, it wasn't comfy, it didn't have any beds. And yet, Mary was still expected to give birth there. So when we put it into perspective, we weigh up the busyness that we experience and the busyness that Mary and Joseph experience. It kind of puts it into perspective how hard it was for them. And we can often overlook how busy it was. We look past all that to the point where Jesus was born, where Jesus was in the world and doing his ministry. And rightly so, that's great. We should look to Jesus. But actually, we need to make sure that we remember how Jesus came into the world. Jesus came in the most human way possible. In Luke, we hear that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son. But that's it. That's one sentence in the Bible about Mary giving birth. And I don't think it truly reflects what happened. You see, I didn't just choose one Bible verse today to really delve into detail. I only chose it because I wanted to focus on what the Bible didn't cover. It didn't cover the trials and tributes that Mary went through when carrying Jesus, when giving birth to Jesus. Can I get the first image up, please? I'm going to show you a couple of images now. So, we have our typical nativity scene, like we've just seen here. Okay, so we've got Jesus there. He's looking all cute and angelic in the manger. He's got quite a lot of hair for a newborn baby, actually. That's quite good. Then we've got Mary. She's sat up. She's smiling. She's looking pretty good, isn't she, for a mother who's just given birth for the first time. Then we've got Joseph, arm round her. Yeah, he's looking pretty confident, like he knows what he's doing. My lectern's been taken over. and then we have all their visitors around. I mean, it's a nice picture, isn't it? It's a really nice scene, and it's one that we know all too well. But let's have a look at the next image, because I don't feel like this one is completely realistic. Okay, so obviously this isn't Jesus. This is just a random picture of someone I got off the internet. But here we have, okay, again, the baby. The baby's crying. It's quite mucky from the birth. And then we've got the mother. She's obviously been sweating and crying, and she's obviously exhausted. She can't even lift her head up to look at her newborn baby. That's how tired she is. And then I'm sure her partner is pacing up and down, all worried in the background, and probably being not much help at all. And my point is that Luke seems to miss all of this out. He misses out all the troubles that come with all the discomfort that comes with being in your third trimester of pregnancy. For those of you who don't know what the third trimester is, that's the last bit before you give birth. I know because I read it in a book somewhere. Luke doesn't cover the trials of labour and childbirth, everything that Mary would have had to go through to give birth to the Son of God. You see, he came as all humans do. There would have been crying. There would have been afterbirth and all that natural stuff that comes with a human birth. And we kind of wince at that. We kind of wince at that image. I've seen a few people, especially young people, looking at that picture with a bit of disgust on their face. Like, oh, what's that? And we do. Especially if you've been through it. If you've been through giving birth, you kind of wince at the memories of it. But actually, through that, through the labours of childbirth, a beautiful, beautiful connection is formed. An unconditional love, unbreakable love between a mother and her child. And that's the way God wanted to come into the world. God wanted to demonstrate that love, the love that he has for us, through the human birth, through the way that he created. You see, our God isn't a flashy God. We don't need a membership or an expensive subscription to know the love of God. God was born as Jesus, Emmanuel, to be among us and to preach the message of God's love across the world. Our God walked among us not to be flashy, not to show off, or not even to tell us off for how broken the world had become. He simply came to walk among us to show us how much he loves us. And he wanted us to know that. So something I want to leave you with today, something that I want you to remember through this festive season, is that God isn't far away from us. I don't believe that God is this old bloke sat on top of the clouds looking down at us with a holier-than-thou attitude. I believe God knows us intimately. He knows every single hair on our head, not just because he created us, but because he came to us as a human. He's gone through what we've been through. We heard, again, in the Nativity that Jesus was a toddler. You see, Jesus didn't just pop out as a fully grown 30-year-old and then begin his ministry. That would have been very painful for Mary. But Jesus came as a baby. He then grew up. He was a toddler. He would have then been a teenager and gone through all the teenage stuff that people go through, every human goes through. And then he would have been a 20-year-old in his 20s, going through all the troubles that we go through with being 20 and working out who we are. Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old, and so he understood what we as humans go through, and therefore God understands what we've gone through. God understands and knows what we go through as humans, and he still loves us all the same. Christmas is a hectic season, and for many people it's a really difficult time, and one that can often lead us to forget the love that God holds for us. You know, we come to these services and we nod along. We go, yeah, it's all about the birth of Jesus, that's fine, yeah. And it's true, it is totally about the birth of Jesus, the coming of Christ. But actually, it's what that represents, what that birth represents. I believe it was to show us, the coming of Jesus was to show us the unconditional love that God has for us. It was to preach a message of love across the world, for us to know that God is never far from us and understands what we go through. So this Christmas, this festive season, let's not just remember the birth of Jesus, but let's remember how real it was, how human it was. And let's remember how that represents God's very real love for each and every single one of us. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are going to go into our final carol of the day, which will be Joy to the World. So once again, I invite you to stand as you are able and join in the lyrics that will be on the screen. Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for the wonderful gift that is Jesus. In a world where we are often overwhelmed by consumerism, let us remember that it is your Son Jesus and not material possessions that will bring us true joy. Let us give what we can to people who are less fortunate than us this Christmas, both locally and internationally. We remember that the Christmas story is one of a young refugee family fleeing persecution and pray that the UK becomes more compassionate towards people fleeing problems we are blessed to be without. Lord, we thank you that Christmas is a joyful time of celebration, but we also recognise that Christmas can be a difficult time for so many people. We pray for ourselves and those who are known to us, who find this time of year challenging. Help us to love and support one another. Lord, you are the light of the world, and we pray that more people will discover this truth. This Christmas, may we have opportunities to share the story of Jesus' birth and ask that you will give us the confidence and the right words to say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lauren. Okay. Now, I don't know if many of you will remember, but a few months ago I did a sermon talking about rest. And I actually, I made a joke that Tim was going to start a breakdancing club. Obviously insinuating that Tim isn't a very good dancer. Now, he's actually got quite offended at that, and he told me off. And he said that, he's challenged me for us to do a dance. So we've actually spent that time, the last few months, preparing this great dance. It's very complex, and it's quite difficult, isn't it, Tim? It's quite hard for our ability. And we want to teach it to you all today. We want to teach it. We want to do it to our favourite Christmas song. Tim, if you want to get up, here we go. And he was kind of practicing in his Carols by Candlelight sermon when he got up to what was that song again from 1902? I don't know. Wrote on the way home or something. John Mayer? Oh, that's the one. Yeah.
Chris Rea.
Chris Rea, thank you. Not John Mayer. Right, this is going downhill quickly, so we better let's just do the song, shall we? So I invite you all to stand and join in. Okay, this is tricky. These moves are tricky, and they're quite advanced, aren't they, Tim?
We need everybody to join in with this song.
And yeah.
It's really, I've tried to learn them, and Morgan's trying to teach me. But basically, we've got to go hush. There's a baby.
Yeah.
In the
manger. Hush.
Baby
Jesus.
There's our manger. That we're going to wake him up or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we're going to sing with the angels, heavenly songs. We're going to shout with the shepherds all night long.
Yeah.
Worship with the wise men. Bow right down.
Yeah.
Jesus is king, and it's such a king.
That's right. That's basically it. Yeah. So, like I said, very complicated, very complex.
You won't tell me, do the kids want to come up?
Front? Yeah, come on, join us. Come on, get yous up. Maggie's already there.
Thanks.
Right. Where's Mike?
I'm sorry.
No.
Right, we got the video? Awesome. No sound again.
Oh.
Hey, Fred, are you able to get it through your phone? If you go on YouTube? And then link your phone up, and then hopefully we can link it up to the video. If you click play at the same time. Talk among yourself. I would get Tim to sing it, but you haven't warmed up, have you?
Not yet.
No. You do have the voice of an angel, but...
There's a baby in the manger, hush, baby Jesus, there's a danger that we're going to wake him up. He's such good news, we can't shut up. We want to sing with the angels, heavenly sound, shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Whoa. as a baby. In the manger, hush, shh, baby Jesus. There's a danger that we're going to wake him up. He's such good news, we can't shut up. We wanna sing with the angels, heavenly sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We wanna sing with the angels, heavenly sound. Shout with the shepherds, tell what we found. Worship with the wise men, bow right down. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. Jesus is born and he's such good news. We want to shout and sing and worship the King. Shout and sing and worship the King. Shout and sing and worship the King. Jesus is born and he's such good news.
You are going to talk to him.
Thank you. We've got a round of applause there. That's an achievement there, Tim. I was surprised they weren't running for the door. So, a final blessing for us all today. Let's move into this final week before Christmas. I pray that we remember why we celebrate this day and that God is never far from us. I pray that we recognise and appreciate the immense and intimate love he has for us, and that he blesses us in our weeks and in our Christmas in whatever way we need. And from me personally, I would like to finish by wishing you all a very Merry Christmas from me and from PMC. I hope you have a fantastic rest of festive season, and I hopefully look forward to seeing you all again in the new year soon. And hopefully we can get the kids back in to do another performance at some point. I'm sure Gareth would be well up for that. And I would also like to invite you to join us for coffee and drinks and refreshments after that our wonderful Keith and Irene have put on today. Thank you all again for coming today. Like I said, it's been fantastic to see all the kids out, all the parents and all the people getting involved. And like I said, I hope to see you again very soon. Bless you all. Amen.